Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Welcome to the first episode of the 2023 season of the podcast. If you're a first-time listener, I'm David Bailey, an Englishman in the Balkans. I've lived in the northwest of Bosnia and Herzegovina for over 20 years. And this podcast is all about telling stories from this small, heart-shaped, but often misunderstood, country in the Western Balkans. In this episode, I go to a coffee bar in the centre of Banja Luka, the country's second city, to talk to Danilo Bosnić. Danilo is a tour guide. We discuss the difficulties and negative perceptions this country has, but also how a focused, slow tourism plan can really improve how Bosnia and Herzegovina is viewed as a future top travel destination. If you would like to support the podcast, either consider subscribing to our blog, the link is in the show notes, or maybe buying us a coffee or two. Thanks in advance.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
I'm Danilo Bosnić. I'm 25 years old, and for 5 years I've been doing this job as a tour guide. I'm a history student, just about to finish my studies to graduate. And when I started doing this job, I simply enjoyed it because I look myself as an ambassador here when the tourists came. Since I was a child, my mother was working for 10 years in a big travel agency. She was the director of the agency, and since I was the kid, I was going there to her job, and I started liking it. Traveling, being with people, communicating, and simply, one day, 5 years ago, I saw it was in the press, they were conducting training for the travel guides, and I joined. I passed the exam, and now I'm doing this job for 5 years.
What was the training like back then? Because I've never really appreciated that guides undergo training. It's always seemed to me to be the person that had so much passion that they just had to do it. But you actually underwent training.
Yeah, we had it for a month. in the government of Republic of Srpska, the Ministry of Tourism and Trade. It consists of various activities and small exams, including geography, the Constitution of Republic of Srpska, history, and also guiding the tour, hosting it.
What was it like that first tour? When you were younger than you are now,
There
you are, as anybody would know, starting a new job. It's quite frightening, to be honest.
Yeah.
Can you remember what the feeling was on that first job when you finally met some tourists who wanted to find out about your home city?
It was really scary for me, to be honest. I had a group, I think 10 women, they were from Croatia, and they were here for 2 days. And it was funny because they wanted a reservation in a cafe and they wanted live music. And I took them in a famous bar here. The music was excellent, but they didn't like it. They wanted to go to a folk bar. So later on, they went to listen to some accordion and things like that. But it was really funny. And now when I go back and I see how much my approach approved. It's really funny to see it.
What do you do different now then? Let's say I turned up. I know nothing about Banja Luka. We'll talk about that in a minute, about why Banja Luka. But I turn up and you say, what do you want to see? And I say, I don't know, just show me something. What immediately comes to mind for you these days?
People like to hang out, especially here in Good Host. We are specialized for solo travelers and those who come as a couple. And it is much more different than you have a bus or a double-decker. It is a completely different way of tourism because you spend more intimate time with smaller group. And they get to know you better and you have a chance to meet up with those guys. And I like working in smaller groups, because it is much more relaxing. You can adjust yourself. And when you are doing this job, you need to be also a kind of psychologist, because I need to know what you want. If you are into cultures, we will go to a museum. If you like going out, we will go out to a bar, search out the food, the local food, which is really delicious also.
In a way, would you say that not only your personal approach to it, but Good Host approach to it is one of the few, maybe I'm wrong, but one of the few, if any, you might be the only, that sees the benefit in slow tourism rather than what I call quick-fire tourism, which is what we've been used to before the pandemic. It's go to Greece, 20 things in 3 days. You don't really appreciate anything. And what you get at the end of it maybe is a good number of Instagram pictures, but you're exhausted and you didn't really find anything at all about the country. So are you more a slow tourism?
Definitely. The name itself says Dobar domaćin, good host. And that is our main motto, being just a simple good host to our tourists. Why? Because at the end, when they go to the airport, they will say, I don't know, last week there was a group from Berlin and they said, oh, it was wonderful. We will say it to all our friends to come to visit to Banja Luka. Because most people who come here in Bosnia, especially in Banja Luka, they have some prejudice about our past, our way of living. And here we are at the Good Host to change it, to make us slow tourist destination. And I really think that Banja Luka and the whole Bosnia is an unpolished gem. It certainly will, in 5-10 years, it will be a magnificent top destination.
I've met more than a few people that have said the following things to me. When I've asked them, why Banja Luka? One of the most stark answers from somebody that I showed around in my limited capacity was, I was in Sarajevo and everybody kept saying, why do you want to go there? Don't go. So much so that it stimulated this guy and his family to say, if I keep saying, don't go there, why? So they jumped in a car and came here and had an experience that has actually changed their view. You stumbled on the fact just now and I'm very pleasantly surprised to hear it,
This part of Bosnia-Herzegovina has got, and we can't lie about it, really negative perceptions from both within the country and outside the country. As a Banja Luka boy, and I know you're 25, but to me you're younger, right? But as a Banja Luka guy, how did it feel when you have to have in the back of your mind what are their perceptions of what I am? What are their perceptions of my home city? What are their perceptions of my culture? How do you cope with that? Do you just have to swallow it up, or do you try and get them to embrace what you, your city, and your culture is all about?
I always try to embrace them, to make them to hear a different story, a different approach, to hear our side of the story. But I've had those situations, sadly, when people come here with a lot of prejudice and they think that they're right. But that's tourism.
But it must hurt you personally.
Yeah, I don't like when people are close-minded and when they don't want to hear any advices, any stories. But most of the tourists are open-minded and neat, and it's an enjoyment to work with them because our culture is much more different than, for example, the West European one. And when people come here, if they are relaxed and if they enjoy being here, it is a new experience for them, especially for the Asians. We had a lot of tourists from Asia. They enjoyed in our nature. They enjoyed the food. They enjoy being with our people.
Who has the most negative perceptions? Is it the Western Europeans and maybe the North Americans? Or is it, let's say, the new generation of tourists here? I've got to take a pause quickly because Tamara said, don't ever say that, because when she was young, when it was the former Yugoslavia, she said, you wouldn't have believed this city. There were people from Egypt, from Africa, from all the non-aligned nations, which Yugoslavia was the creator of. And she said, we were so multicultural, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you have to say that, when you look around at the moment, it's not as multicultural as some places. But who do you think has the lesser negative perceptions? Visitors of, let's say, Asia, the Indian subcontinent, Indonesia, or is it the Western Europeans and North Americans?
I think mostly West Europeans and those who are a little bit older. The new generations, they don't care. They come mostly open-minded here. They just want to enjoy. They usually spend a weekend here. They're really nice to work with them. And that's another topic, the staying over the weekend. I think that it is really impossible to see everything here in just 2 days. That's the average here. 1.5 nights spent in Banja Luka. We need to improve that.
How are you going to do that? That's a sharp question to ask you off the top of your head. But you have been thinking about this.
Yeah, definitely.
How can you get people to want to stay longer?
First of all, we need to promote better our destination. And at the Good Host, we have packages for 3 and 4 nights. And there is a funny story. I have read some British travel chronicles who were here 100 years ago, and they went to the Seoul One Hotel here that was in that period, that this Hotel Bosna. And everybody was there asking them, why did you came here? There is nothing to see there. And our mentality is still the same. The locals think that here it is boring, that they have nothing to do. But if you ask them if they were on the Dayak boat, they weren't. 90% of inhabitants here didn't have a ride on the Dayak.
I have to interrupt at a moment. The Dayak, by the way, is the symbol of the city. It's a flat-bottom type of punt boat that goes up and down the River Vrbas. You have to go and see it. But you're saying that they talk about, we have this, but they've never experienced it themselves.
Yeah.
In a way, Danilo, there's a beautiful mountain range. There's a national park, 40 kilometres away
from the river.
There's the Kozara mountain range, right? Would it be fair to say that a lot of people in Banja Luka have never been on the Kozara?
Definitely. They haven't been on Banj Brdo, which is a hill here nearby the city, which has an awesome hiking track, which has a beautiful monument at the top, which was made in 1965 to celebrate 20 years of the victory in the Second World War. There is really a lot of things to do and to visit. Not just in the city, but near the city, like especially Krupa on the Vrbas. I would also suggest going here on the river, because I don't know if there are as many rivers like Vrbas who are suitable for the water activities. Banja Luka is the only city in the world who has hosted 2 world championships in the rafting.
While we're talking about sport, by the way, Vanja Luka will have its first ATP 250 competition soon.
I didn't realize,
but what, just why we've digressed, but Diego Schwartzman and all these all these famous tennis players used to be here every year at a tennis competition. And of course, next year we're going to be hosting an international one. It strikes me that's really weird that a lot of the negativity towards tourism is from city dwellers themselves rather than outside. Would you say that?
Definitely. I would really agree with you.
I'm passionate, as many people that know me will be aware of, about not only promoting the city near where I live, but the country as a whole. Just before the pandemic, I had this, I don't know, it, I was starting to get a bit negative myself and questioning myself, having seen what the effect of over-tourism has done to a place, for example, like Venice. Venice was a top visitor destination. The pandemic came and all of a sudden you could see fish again in the canals. The locals didn't have to pay €4 for a loaf of bread anymore. They could pay 50 euro cents because everything was raised because of tourism. They could walk their streets and not have to be bumped into by coach load and cruiser load of people coming in. Do you think we're going to have to accept that as we make this a top visitor generation destination? Sorry, that we're going to have a period of time where we might have more tourists than we might be comfortable with? Or do you think there is a way that we could balance that?
If it happens, we would definitely need to change our mindset, because in the branch of tourism and restaurants and gastronomy, when people start to get some money to be successful, they change their approach, which is a wrong way to do. The quality then is lower and lower, the prices are higher. And we could do, in our agency, we could do commercial things just to be like 2 hours, we are done, and it was good, and that's it. But we want to create memories for our guests, a unique experience. Why? Because, as I said, I see myself as an ambassador of my town, of my country, and I enjoy being in the company with people who are happy to be here, to share the moment, to share the experience. I started enjoying in the nature at the moment since I started being a tourist guide, because there was, for example, last month there was a woman from Singapore and she was always taking photos. She was like, I'm sorry, but I don't have that in Singapore. I don't have any, nothing is green there. And we went to Greben near the Krupa Monastery and we took a little hike and it was really beautiful. The colors, the autumn and the springtime here in Banja Luka is beautiful, and who wants to come to Banja Luka definitely should do it in that period, because the city is most beautiful in that period. The colors are beautiful. And as I said, I started enjoying in the nature.
When we talk about people coming to see Banja Luka, tourists from Singapore or other Asian countries, Western Europeans as well, the people you said that came from Berlin, and then we touched on the fact that people from Banja Luka didn't really go and explore around their own city. You and I know this, but for you, wherever you're listening to this, if you don't know too much about Bosnia and Herzegovina, as a result of the conflict in the 1990s, which is 30 years ago, there is no war here. Danilo and I are sat here without a flak jacket on, without helmets, and nobody's going to lob a grenade through the window in a minute. It's all in the past. But as part of that, the country was made into two what they call entities. In the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which is in the opposite entity where we're sitting today, do you get any people from Sarajevo that come to visit, or has that never happened to you yet?
Rarely. And they rarely send people from Sarajevo to Banja Luka. It's mostly people from Sarajevo, they mostly go to Jajce or Bihać, Martin Brod on the Una River, but they rarely come here. We have included Sarajevo in our offer, Sarajevo, Mostar. We have some regional tours like Jajce, Mostar, Sarajevo. We are doing it because we want to promote the whole country. If somebody is here staying for 10 days, I would suggest to him to go maybe to Jajce, why not? It's a nice daybreak.
So you've been doing this now for a good few years, and I would say, in my view, that you are one of the few tourism experts in the city. people might get in the comments below and start giving me grief for that. But I don't mind that, because if you want to make any comments at all, it means you have been listening and you've got questions. If you were given the job tomorrow of being the one person in the Republic of Srpska, not only to reinvigorate Banja Luka tourism, but to reinvigorate the tourism for the Republic of Srpska, and there might be a whole host of things going through your mind at the moment, what would be the main thing, do you think, that we both live here, what would be the one thing, above all, that you would change?
The infrastructure, definitely. Luckily, with the airport doing good business, we have a lot of job now. But if the airport was closed, we would lose. It would be quite a punch for us. I would definitely do the infrastructure, but also there are a lot of small things here to improve.
So the airport, to you, is a very important part of the package at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. The airport is maybe the key stakeholder now, because when Ryanair came, they brought, I think, 8 destinations with them. They are good budget lines.
Let's look at an example. Ryanair brings in people from wherever, and you would, as a guy that knows a lot about the area, and you got someone or a group of people to stay for, let's say, 3 nights, what would be your dream package to offer them? What things would you show them in the time that they had with 3 nights in Banja Luka?
Definitely a city tour, maybe to include Dajak if the weather is good, Krupa on Vrbas, and a visit to the Maria Star Abbey and Slatina.
Now, that's only 4 things over 3 nights.
Yeah, but
you see the value, the benefit of doing things slowly. But that must mean that you as a tour guide, the information in your head that you need to have to tell those people, that's a lot of information, right?
Yes, it is not only history, but some fun facts. And we always are talking with our tourists, always. Small chit-chatting. We want to hear their story, why they came to Banja Luka, what they expect, what they want to do here, what they expect to see. And we always tend to offer them the best and to be 24 hours on their disposal, whether if they have some accommodation problems, if they need airport transfer, if they need reservation for the nightlife, everything, basically.
How do you cope with somebody that finds what you're telling them? Like, you can say, okay, welcome, over your 3 nights here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other, that's fine. And they're going through visiting one of these locations and they want to find out more, and maybe you can tell them the story, and then it's about, I don't know, whatever happened in history. And they went, what happened next? And you said, well, it happened in Yaitza, for example, or it happened in the Kozara or whatever. And they say, I want to see that. Are you able to react to that? And
yeah.
Well, instead of going to Krupa, then tomorrow we'll go up onto the mountain. You can do that.
Yeah, we can, everything. We are really flexible, and that's the main characteristic of our agency, to be flexible.
When we started talking today, you mentioned 2 things. One was about the Croatian ladies that came on that first trip, and you said all they wanted to do was listen to music, and you took them to a bar and went, no, we don't want this, we want to have folklore accordion music. Music plays a great part. And then you were saying about, which I can testify to, the food here. I wanted to say it's to die for, but it's so negative, right? you've just got to eat.
I wanted to say, regarding the food, we have our rivality here in Bosnia who has the best cevapi. It's a famous dish made out of minced meat, and it is between Travnik, Sarajevo and Banja Luka. I have tried them all, and I, not to be subjective, but objective, I really think that we have the best cevapi here in Banja Luka.
We could go on and we could talk forever and ever. But as we finish this, can I give you an idea? What about a cevap tour? What about taking people? They're going to have stomachs to handle this, right? But do you think, I think it'd be absolutely amazing to take people from Banja Luka to Travnik to Sarajevo. And don't they have something in Zenica as well?
Yeah, yeah, Zenica is also famous.
So there could be a whole, 200-kilometre round trip or whatever it is.
We included a gastro tour, but only in Banja Luka, but it's a good idea. Why not to go to visit every place where good food is available?
Danilo, thanks for joining us today. We've been in a coffee bar, so if you've heard young ladies laughing, it is. As far as I'm aware, there are more coffee bars per 100 people here than in Munich.
Yeah, around 800 of them.
Yep, 800 seats. So there's a lot of coffee bars in this city. You have to come. You have to come to Bosnia and Herzegovina as well, because if you're into nature, there are more waterfalls in this small country, this heart-shaped country in the middle of Southeast Europe, than Germany, France, Italy and Spain combined. And when you come to Banja Luka, which I thoroughly recommend, there's links to good host below, he's going to get embarrassed and say, you have to edit this out. His boss is going to get so stressed with me. But what you need to do is you need to ask for Danilo. When you put in your booking, say, I'm only coming if I get Danilo as a tour guide. You will not be disappointed. Danilo, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, David. I would also invite all of your listeners to come here to Banja Luka, because it's really important for them to see something different. Because it will be, the next few years, Banja Luka will be a booming destination. I'm certain of that.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.